I am thrilled to have Donna A. Vlasse on the line. And first of all, let me just say a huge congratulations to you, Donna A.
Thank you so much. I'm so blessed to be on your show again. Thank you for having me.
Well, nominated for your beautiful new album, Mythologies, which is, it's a piece that will never grow old. It's almost like it's something that was created that's a classic. You know, I love it when I find something that I listen to, I'm going, this is never going to get old, right?
Oh, thank you so much.
Mythologies.
Really, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, the album is called Mythologies, and I'm with my two soul sisters, Hila Plitman and Sangeeta Kaur, nominated for this project in the Grammys for Best Classical Vocal Solo Album.
And strangely enough, voter Kellerman, who's also nominated in the New Age category,
yes,
is in there as well.
That's right. He played flute on two of the tracks and is such a lovely human being. What a delight to play with him.
Absolutely. And we were talking the last time I spoke to you about how interesting it was, because I remembered, you know, you go back and forth from France, where your roots are, and a lot of your piano students, as I remember, are,
well,
is that correct?
My students are in America.
Oh, okay. I thought some were in France.
From the perspective of time differences, I'm not opposed to working with students who are 9 hours ahead, but
yeah,
you can imagine logistically that's a challenge.
I know. But your home base now is it L.A.?
Yes, I'm in Los Angeles, yes.
So it's been interesting, because... Where were you born in France, Danae?
I was born in a city in the southwest, which, according to the year, may rank around the fifth largest city in France. It's called Bordeaux, and it's very well known for its wine.
Absolutely.
It is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It's on the bend of the Garonne River, in the middle of the most beautiful wine country and rich soil, and I absolutely adore my homeland.
Is it true that the French drink wine at any time of day? I've lived in France for a while, on and off. And, it's just natural. You just have a glass of wine when you eat, don't you?
Yes. If you're having a social gathering of any sort, then, a little half glass at lunch is not a problem at all.
No.
Even in a work meeting, a work lunch would include that, because people really know how to drink in moderation. It's just built into the culture. So you don't have... people thinking, oh, no, everyone's going to get drunk if we have a half glass of wine at lunch. Often the wine will be kept until the cheese course, which is just before the end. So you'll have the appetizer, the main course, then the cheese course, and then a dessert if you want dessert. So often the wine is just at the end, so you're not having it on an empty stomach.
That's a very interesting point. You know something? Because that's not the way most people do it. Usually they have their wine before their meal, don't they?
Yeah. It's a fun way to start the meal, but
I hadn't,
maybe not the best for work or midday.
I had never thought of that before. And of course, I love cheese too. And I have to say, when I was, I've been to France maybe, 10 times. But you get cheese there. Still, I never find the cheese in America like you get in France, right? Were you raised with great cheese as well?
I spent a lot of my childhood growing up in America, so there was not access to such great cheese until I was in France, which was about 3 months, through the summer, so maybe a quarter of the year. And there, yes, all the amazing cheese and Nutella, which took such a long time to arrive to America.
Oh.
I would remember just throwing myself on Nutella as a child when I would go and finally get Nutella on bread, which is the most standard snack for children in the mid-afternoon.
Amazing.
It's a luxury. Adults don't eat it because it's so fattening. They'll have it as a treat. Adults will say, I'm watching my line, or I'm having some in moderation, but children can have toast after toast with Nutella.
So how were you raised with music? Were you in France when you began your musical career? Were you in America?
My training was here in America. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe because my teachers were aware that I was French and I was very attached to my life there, I got a lot of really beautiful, supportive approach to French music. But it's really ingrained in Western classical tradition, too. People really can't get through 10 years of music study in America without learning Debussy, Poulenc, Ravel, you know, the great French composer.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And your career obviously was very inspired. And what point then did you decide to start teaching music as well as playing classically in concerts as well?
You know, my goal to teach came quite young, even as I was enrolling in my piano performance degree as an undergraduate. I felt already at the time that I wanted to teach. I knew that I wanted to teach at an advanced level, but I didn't yet realize how much I would enjoy working with all levels. And by a series of coincidences, I was asked, even as an undergraduate, to teach in a group piano class for first-year students who were taking music as an elective and wanted to learn to play the piano. So I found myself at the age of 18, 19 years old. I began college at 17. I found myself with a classroom full of 20 students who were beginners. And I had, you know, many weeks with them in which I felt, you know, all the fear of a beginning teacher thinking, oh, I don't have to do this, until I realized, oh, I really actually can do this, and I really, really enjoyed it. I prefer teaching one-on-one because I enjoy the personal relationship with individuals, and I knew that I would teach. I just didn't know what that would look like until I launched my own studio, and I really enjoyed being my own boss, and I work with students of all ages and all levels, and I really enjoy the diversity. I love the rooting that comes from working with beginners and then turning around and working with an advanced student and thinking, oh, hey, you know what? We have to go back to foundational work here, too. Always go back to basic technique. Always remember the thing I just taught an hour ago, I can teach again and remind someone to go back to the basics. And likewise, the advanced students will inspire me to challenge the less advanced students to think in more musical ways and have better command of the instrument. And so, yeah, I find great joy in teaching.
There's also a certain discipline you learn when you're a pianist and teaching and doing it yourself. And you come out with a regular stream of wonderful musical albums. 2013, you did a lovely piece, The Swans. And then 2015, you did Celebrations and Commemoration. In 2016, you did An Evening of Romantic Pleasure and Romantic Pleasure Part 3 and 4, I believe. And then
I was not the only artist on those. Those were actually albums released by my dear colleague, Misha Lefkowitz of the LA Philharmonic. And he invited me to participate on those projects, but those were not directly my own albums.
What a treat. And then back in 2017, you did trilogies. And so you really, at 2018 again, Peace, Music, and Poems. Of course, that's one of my favorite themes.
That's yours, yeah. We met in 2017.
Yes, that was wonderful. And you did a lovely piece on there. And I since have done a book I'm writing that should be out next year on Peace, and I got nominated for a Peace Award, the Gandhi Peace Award, since then. And that was kind of the basis, and it was wonderful to meet you on that. And then 2019, you did a lovely, another theme I love, compassion. You have such lovely themes.
And that was Sangeeta Kaur's album. I worked on half the tracks for that, but yes, that was actually released under her name. And she's truly a soul sister for me. We worked again the following year on a project with Hila Plitman called Poem, which honored my French half. And I believe I've spoken with you about that project. That's all French art song. And then we got to this year's album, Mythologies, where Sangeeta and Hila really share the load of singing incredibly challenging music and do so with such grace.
And again, it's so beautiful. I do love this. And I love the theme of mythologies, you know, because, again, you had that heritage of classical vocal music and the ancient Greek myths that have so much power and depth to them that it doesn't.
My father is Greek.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. Oh. So my mother is French. I was born in France. But my father is Greek, and he's from the island of Ithaca. The Ionian Isles are a collection of islands on the western peninsula of Greece. And even today, they're quite remote. You have to take at least a three-hour boat ride from the port of Patras to get there. And in my father's day, it was a whole day journey on a boat, and there would only be one big boat per week. So the island was extremely remote, and I just have such cherished memories of stories he told me about his childhood, growing up really surrounded by fishermen and farmers. His father was a fisherman, and, you know, he grew up in a place where there were just outhouses, and a lot of houses didn't have, you know, necessarily inside running water, and a very, very rudimentary traditionalist lifestyle. My father's 88, so he was born in the early 1930s. And, you know, Greece was another realm in those days.
Yep.
The island is more developed now and more modernized, and there are boats every day that bring tourists to and from. But it's such a beautiful place, and I really wanted to honor that specific lineage that I feel to that island, because in the epic of Homer's Odyssey, the tale of King Odysseus returning home to Ithaca is very, very central to my consciousness, and I wanted to really celebrate that with this album.
I just was talking to a friend of mine who lives in Croatia half a year and here in Maui half a year, and she just sailed through. They have a sailboat over there. They have a boat, and they just sailed through the Ionian Islands, and there were islands I've never heard of, and I wasn't aware there were so many Ionian Islands, and how charming, though. I mean, maybe it's beyond charming, because you know what? As you know, during the time of heavy cruises, which has backed off some, a lot of the islands in Greece were kind of overpopulated and overcrowded, but there were some. because you know Santorini,
yes,
for example,
I
right?
Know. And oh my goodness, yes.
But did you spend time there? And when you were young, were you able to spend time there with your father?
I did with my father and with his parents. As a child, my memories of his parents are that they were very, very stern and kind of scary. Mm-hmm. Only because, you know, they lived really hard lives, and you just had to do what you had to do. And I'm sure, you know, they were lovely people. I was a very young child and went back many times. In fact, I was there only, I think, maybe 7 or 8 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's a lesson for listeners, to not hesitate to travel outside of tourist season.
Avoid
the heat.
Yeah.
And enjoy a cloudy sky in the off season.
Yeah.
Enjoy the atmosphere that brings. Seeing Ithaca in a winter setting is stunning. I've seen Delphi, which is obviously on the peninsula itself, but not so far from the port of Patras where you would take the boat to go to Ithaca. Delphi in the snow is one of the most magical things I've ever seen.
Wow.
The famous Oracle of Delphi is there, and the ruins are still available for visitation. And, you know, I think that there's a lot to be said for seeing places outside of tourist season. I just came back from Paris in mid-November, and it was glorious.
Was it?
Of course, it's cold,
yeah,
but bring coats and
yeah,
be prepared to bring an umbrella. But, you know, in October, it doesn't rain that much.
Yeah.
November starts to get harder. But what you have are cloudy skies. You have atmosphere. You have stunning sunsets over the Seine with the Eiffel Tower rising above pink clouds. It's really worth it.
I totally agree. And I've spent many winter days there, and I do absolutely love it. You just got to bundle up, you know, and enjoy it. But I agree. So when you went there, tell me what it was like, because obviously you couldn't go for a while when there was all the things going on with COVID. You couldn't go for how long had you had to wait to go back to France?
A little over 2 years.
Wow.
It was the longest I've ever been without seeing my family, and it was so special to go back, and I appreciate that it forced me to experience in a time of year that I haven't seen that often. Usually I'm there in the summer, and occasionally I'll be there at Christmas, but not tourism. Christmas is too tight. We just spend time in the house with family. And I just really think that, you know, the museums are not crowded.
Yeah.
The shops and cafes are so welcoming, because especially following the incredible economic impact of the pandemic,
mm-hmm,
you're treated so well.
Mm.
And there is this ancient perception that the French are cold, or that the Parisians are mean, no different from the New Yorkers, you know, the perception of New Yorkers are rude. It's really not the case.
No.
First of all, the city of Paris for the last 20 years has had a very clear public consciousness campaign to help commercial businesses learn how to accommodate not French cultural ideals, but more international / American cultural ideals for customer service. Customer service is different in France than in America, but Paris has adapted in order to serve an American model.
I'm shocked. I had not heard that, and it actually blows my mind in a way that there actually was a campaign on how to be more culturally friendly to Americans. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that seems so bizarre to me because, again, that I have never found French people rude, and I've been there many times. But, again, it depends on what you expect or your own attitude. And your own attitude, even just saying and remember to saying bonjour, bonsoir, just to say a few words.
A little effort.
Mm-hmm. To say, you know, thank you. I mean, those few kindnesses are expected, and sometimes in America they aren't, you know. I've never felt that, but I'm fascinated in the way that there was a cultural effort to teach them how to be more open to receiving business and help tourism by their attitude. I'm surprised any French person would actually do that.
You know, somehow they chose to do it, and I can say that in my years going, I have felt a palpable shift. It is most notable in smaller institutions, smaller businesses.
Uh-huh.
In a very, very, very large setting, such as a huge supermarket, where it's very impersonal.
Yeah.
I don't think things have changed much there.
Uh-huh.
Let's say you walk into a supermarket and you're asking, where do I find X, Y, or Z? Someone will say, oh, it's over aisle 3 or 4.
Yeah.
But they won't escort you. Whereas
right.
in America, someone will walk you over to that aisle and show you the product you're looking for.
Very rarely these days. Very rarely these days
here.
I always get surprised when someone does, and I'm always grateful when they do. But that's amazing. So you were there how long in it was November. How long? October or November you were there?
November. I was there for 3 weeks. Most
good.
Of it was family.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so did you go down to, I'm going to mispronounce it, Bordeaux, I'll say, and I know that's wrong pronunciation.
I did not go to Bordeaux, and that side of the family is a little upset with me.
Oh, dear. Oh, my.
I didn't make time for it all. I went to the other side of where my family is, which is the southeast, near Nice.
Oh.
And I saw the closer family members in
Nice. I love Nice.
The immediate, the brothers, mom, etc., I had to leave the cousins for another time next summer.
Ah, Nice is wonderful. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I've spent time there, and I just love the. You know what I love about France, and especially down Nice, they have wonderful markets. Were they able to still do the markets with the COVID restrictions or not?
Yes, because outdoors considered safe.
Oh, good, good, good. Did you do shopping or not? Did you
regrettably go? No. It's a very rare year I didn't buy anything. Typically I go with half a bag empty and ready to receive clothing and fun stuff. Chocolate.
Yes.
To bring back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't have the time. It was a wonderful trip, but very, very busy.
Well, I mean, obviously you're going to be going to the Grammys and being nominated. There'll be the nomination party and there'll be all kinds of fun activities involved, too. Are you going to stay at the Biltmore, or where are you going to stay?
Well, I live in L.A., so in all likelihood, I'll just Uber to the venue.
Yeah,
Or I'll maybe sleep nearby with my darling soul sisters, Sangeeta and Hila, and coordinate hair and makeup at 6 a.m. that day together.
Yes.
It's a long day.
Do you have your dress picked yet?
I do, but I can't talk about it.
I know. People don't understand that you're there. It's a big deal, and what you said is right. People do not realize you have to get up early. You have to get your hair done, your makeup done, and it's everything's super busy, so it's like a whole big process, you know.
Will I see you there?
I was going to go, but this year I'm not for a couple of reasons. One is I'm a little concerned about the COVID and what might happen with that. And also just the idea of the cost this year. I mean, I've heard things in Los Angeles have gotten much more expensive. I don't know if it's true, but my daughter said that things have gone up in price quite a bit in Los Angeles right now.
Okay.
Have you heard that?
I have no specific comment on that.
Okay.
No.
Okay. I know gas is pricey, but we're used to that here.
Yeah.
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 But I wanted to go. I still may try to go, but it's this year may not be the year to go. I think I'm going to take that money and put it towards a project I'm working on. I'd rather, put it towards my next project or two, actually. But I will definitely be watching the premiere ceremony, which you'll be part of. And and so many wonderful people this year. I just talked with, of course, with Grant Malloy Smith and the Indie Collab people this year.
Oh, I love Grant.
I do too.
Oh, what a sweet man. I'm so glad you got to speak with him.
I did. And you know what? On top of that, there's so many wonderful people this year that I'm just so proud to be friends with, and I'm so happy for them. So, and you're one of them, and I really am so grateful that I had the time to talk to you. And what's the best site for people to go get the album and check out? Should it be your website, or where can they find your works?
Yes, my website is probably the easiest place, because you'll see all the beautiful artwork from the album there. The liner art was done by Greg Spalenka, who's a beautiful artist. I wanted to work with him for years.
It is.
And so my website is my first name and my last name, Danae. VLASSE.com, and there you can just navigate to the albums tab and select Mythologies and see this beautiful album. You can stream it. You can also watch the outstanding cinematic music video that we did called Siren.
Beautiful, beautiful.
It's all on my website. It's one place to find it all.
Yeah, it's a fabulous video. I love that. Latest videos, awesome. Yeah.
Magical. We've got mermaids.
I know. Oh my gosh, they were gorgeous. Yes.
So much fun.
Well, it's been a treat talking to you. Thank you so much for your time, and the best of luck to you, okay?
Oh, thank you so much. What a delight. Have a beautiful holiday season.
You
Cindy.
Too, Meli Kalikimaka. Aloha.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Aloha. Bye-bye.